Always want to put it on upside down. I'm getting it figured out, though. Glory to God. Good morning. Thank you, Jen. That was good. Always love hearing the kids' messages there. You can understand them. And that's always the way I try to preach as well. Something that I'm not a deep person. I'm pretty simple. And so I try to preach and teach the word the way you can understand, so you know what God's saying. We're going to be in John chapter 5 today. This is the fifth portrait of Jesus, and it's talking about Jesus the healer. So we're going to be looking today at Jesus the healer. So if you just think about your week, how many times during the week do we pray for someone's healing? Or how many times a day? You know, often we'll get a prayer request thing on our phones for someone two or three times a day to pray for people. And we do that. We've found that prayer moves the hand of God. And as we're going to be looking today, mostly New Testament things, as Jesus, our healer, how he takes care of our health. And most of us have gone through one of these crazy respiratory flus that's been going around this winter. Some of us have gone through two or three already. And you really look for a healing when you start into one of those, don't you? You really look for God to heal you and bring you through it. And so we're going to be looking today as Jesus, our healer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you, Father, that you're, what a powerful name the name of Jesus is, that we can come to you in his name and ask for whatever we need. So, Father, today as we look at this picture of Jesus, as we look at his life, when he walked the earth and healed so many people, Father, help us to understand that that's part of our ministry today, is to take the healing to the people around us, to our families, to our loved ones, to our your healing power, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 5. We're going to start there today. John chapter 5. We're going to begin actually in the first verse of John 5. We're going to be looking at several different passages today, different scenarios of Jesus' healing. And this begins in verse 1. It says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews." Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda or Bethsaida. It's kind of interchangeable there, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. So I picture this place with a pool with covered porches around the sides. So there's places for you to get in the shade. It's sunny on the pool, sunny on the water. And so it says, "Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed." It says, "One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. So he had been, somebody had been bringing him to the pool for a long time, and he had been trying to. So as I look here at my footnotes, it says, so he was paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the water. So an angel of the Lord, it says, would come down from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. So this is right at the beginning of Jesus' healing ministry. And before this, they waited for the stirring of the water. And it says, when Jesus saw this man lying here, this invalid, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well? Would you like to be healed?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So he had been trying and trying and trying to get into the water so he could be healed. So Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So here we see a correlation between forgiveness and sickness. And I've said this before. Unforgiveness will cause sickness in your lives. It makes you miserable. I have experienced it. I've gone times where I didn't forgive someone as I should have, and it makes you miserable. It makes you feel bad. It will make you actually make you sick if you don't forgive someone. And so it's correlated here with sin is correlated with this man's injury or being an invalid. And so we don't know how much problems that causes in our life, do we? But so Jesus began his ministry of healing here. And when he commissions the church to go and heal people as well, the way he did it is so simple. He just said, "Pick up your mat and walk." It's not anything hard about it. It's just speaking the word in the name of Jesus. He goes on in verse 16 and down through Matthew here in chapter 5. It says, So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God, and they couldn't handle that at all. That to them was blasphemy. Jesus gave them this answer. So I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and lives and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came because the Father sent him to the earth to die for our sins. So he's spending his years as he walks the earth and as he ministers, he spent his time in healing, in a healing ministry. He did so many miracles. And I'm going to go back to Matthew now, just to share some of the other. So let's go to Matthew 8. Some of the other miraculous healings that Jesus did as he walked the earth. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to again beginning verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8. So this first guy is a guy who had leprosy. Leprosy is a skin disease. It's a disease that turns your skin white and scaly. It says when he came down from the mountainside, and this is another time when he went up on a mountain to spend some time. So he came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So when they had leprosy, they had to go outside the camp, outside the community where they were. And if someone came close to them, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so that you know not to get around them. Because in the Jewish custom at that time, if you were unclean, if you touched an unclean person, then you would be unclean till evening or till you would be consecrated and gotten back into the community again by the priest. You had to go to the priest and he had to declare you clean again. And so that's why it's saying that he was, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Because they had to go around and say, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." So Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He said, "I am willing, be clean." Pretty simple, isn't it? I'm willing, be clean. So immediately he was cured of the leprosy. And Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And I always wondered, because I've seen this several times in the New Testament, why he told him, don't go and tell anyone. But he told them to keep it to themselves. Don't go and tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. And the second instance here is the faith of the centurion. So this centurion, it says, as Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Centurion is one of the leaders of the military, the leaders of the guys who fought in their army. And so that's the kind of person he was coming. And he said, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." So I don't know how many of you know paralyzed people, but there's certain areas of their body that they can't even move if they're paralyzed. They can't move them. It's not a fun thing at all. It's something very painful a lot of times and just hard to deal with. Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." So he knew Jesus. He knew his healing power. And he knew if he just said the word that his servant would be healed, even though he wasn't there. So it says, "For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. Tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus said to the centurion, he said, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." His servant was healed at that very hour. So healing takes faith. What can you believe God for? He said, "It will be done for you just as you believed that it would." So if we don't believe that it will, it probably won't. Because it takes faith for God to work in our lives. And then verses 14 and following says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. So this is a little different instance. He didn't say a word. He just touched her. And that reminds me of the lady that had the issue of blood, where she said, "If I just touch his garment, I'll be healed." When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." And that is actually from Isaiah 53:4. There's just I want to read a couple of other verses that go along with that there in Isaiah. So Isaiah 53, chapter, verses 13, 13 through 16. There's actually a lot of Isaiah 53 that is talking about Jesus here. He says, "Surely he took up our infirmities." I'm starting with verse 4 here. "And carried our sorrows." Yes, I told you the wrong verses. It's Isaiah 53:4-6. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So Jesus' wounds at his crucifixion were for our healing. He was wounded, it says. His wounds were by his wounds we are healed. So he did that for us. He came and died and was wounded so that we could walk in health, so that we would be healed. And there's on over in chapter 10 of Matthew, as this is when Jesus sends out the 12. And he's called his 12 disciples to him, and beginning at verse 1. "And he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12, and Peter and Andrew and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons, and freely It says, freely you have received, freely give. So the disciples were commissioned to carry on the healing ministry, just as the church is. And for the church's commission, I want to go to James chapter 5. We can use this one because we are also disciples. As you know, Matt has been preaching on discipleship the last 2 or 3 weeks, and is teaching our youth. They're going through a book on discipleship. So as disciples of Jesus, we have this same commission that he gave the disciples back here, the 12, to go and cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, heal the sick. And let's turn over to James chapter 5 now. Got to keep going until I find it here. All these little books together, it's hard to pick it out. I've got little things that show me where they're all at, but some of them I can't read anymore because I've been in here so long. James chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So this is where I say we are commissioned to go and heal. That's why that we always give you a chance to come if you need healing, so that we can anoint you and pray for you. Because we've seen God move on your behalf. We've seen God heal many times, and we want to continue with the ministry of healing just as Jesus did, as we've seen his portrait there in John today. So if you have any prayer needs today, if you need healing for anything, well, we'd love to do that with you. But for anything at all, doesn't have to be for healing, anything that you need prayer for. If anybody has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, well, we would love to help you through that as well. And so we're going to ask the praise team to come, share a final song. And if you need any kind of prayer at all, I'd be just come up and we'd love to pray with you.